This is the season for the rains on the 8th, starting with the 7th of Cheshvan, which is, I think, also voting day, election day here in Israel, if I'm not mistaken. We begin asking for rains. And in Halacha, there's a tremendous emphasis on what we call Bakashas Geshamim, which is a petition that we add to the ninth bracha, Birchas Hashanim, beginning after Shmini Atzeres, but we wait the 2 weeks because Chazal say the Olei Regel are on the way back. We don't want them to be disturbed by the rainy weather. And we begin at that point, 7 days into Cheshvan, all the way until Pesach. And we ask for Geshamim, the same Talamat Levracha. And this is so important, Bakashas Geshamim in Halacha, that the Gemara tells us that if he omitted the same Talamat Levracha, and he didn't ask for rains, then Machzir also, he has to repeat Shmon Esrei. And Reb Chaim Brisker has a very fascinating insight into the very, shall I say, essential nature of and significance of asking for rains, as far as tefillah is concerned. Because he compares, at first glance, two cases of machzirno, so two omissions which require that you repeat Shmon Esrei. One is Yalav Yavo, how are you? Which is what we add for Rosh Chodesh and also Chol HaMoed. And the law is that if you omitted Yalav Yavo in your tefillos on Rosh Chodesh, you would have to repeat Shmon Esrei. So that seems to indicate that Yalav Yavo is a critical part, indispensable part of Shmon Esrei. And so too, V'sein Talamot Olvracha, the Bakasha for Gisham. But Reb Chaim sees in these two halachas something fundamentally different one from the other. Only a Brisker could come up with this. There's a Tosus in Masechta Brachos, which you'll see quoted here, and it's at the beginning of the fourth perek, in the name of Rabbeinu Yehuda, who is a very rarely quoted Bala Tosus. Ta'av lo hizkir Rosh Chodesh b'mincha. So let's say, for example, yesterday was the second day of Rosh Chodesh, correct? And mincha time, he omitted Yalav Yavo, and he didn't realize, he didn't catch himself until it was too late to repeat Shmon Esrei. It's already nighttime. Now, whenever you messed up on a Shmon Esrei, you mess up, you have to add a tefillas tashlumin. That's so before Rabbeinu Yehuda's Chiddush in Tosfos, we would have said that if he omitted Yalav Yavo on Mincha on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, or for that matter, Mincha on a one day Rosh Chodesh, and now he's into the night afterwards, he should repeat a second Shmon Esrei, namely the Tefillas Tashlumin, to make up for the Shmon Esrei that he missed. And comes along Rabbeinu Yehuda and he says, no, there will be no Tefillas Tashlumin. Let's try to understand why. Kasav Rabbeinu Yehuda is a quote from Tosfos, Diem Tov Lo Hizkir Rosh Chodesh B'Mincha Lo Yispalel Od. Od here means a Tashlumin. You know, the first field is going to be a chov, and the second field is tashlumin. But in this case, Rabbeinu Yehuda nixes the idea of tashlumin, balayla. De lama yispalel od, harekvar hispalel kol tefilas amincha mibod yom, levad rosh chodesh, meaning yalav yavo shelo hizkir, v'im kain, these are the key three words here that we want to underline, ein marviach klum, Im yachzor v'yispalel b'motzoi Rosh Chodesh, arei lo yazkir od tefilas Rosh Chodesh v'yudches kvar yispalel. So Rabbi Yehuda argues that the point of Tashlumin is to fill in for what you missed. Now, if what you missed is not the Shmon Esrei, because you did pray the Shmon Esrei, you only missed the Yalav Yavo, then it makes sense to have a tefilas Tashlumin to fill in the missing gap if you can say Yalav Yavo. So, for example, if you omitted Yalav Yavo Shachar's time, and you want to add another tefillah mincha time as tashlumin, and there you will recite Yalav Yavo because it's still Rosh Chodesh, nicha, that I understand. But if it's already nighttime, so it's already the second day in the month, and there's no possibility of reciting Yal V'Yav or B'Yom HaRosh Chodesh, because it's not Rosh Chodesh, then you've gained absolutely nothing. Maher V'yach B'Tfilah. So what is he gaining by adding a Tfilas Tashlum? So basically, if we want to reduce Rabbeinu Yehuda into one sentence, he's arguing that the Tfilas Tashlumen is only in place, it's only meaningful, if and when you can add that which you subtracted, if you could fill in for that which you omitted. If there's no possibility to fill in that which you omitted, then it's an exercise of futility. Maher viach, what did you gain? He's looking at it almost like from a business perspective, you know, pragmatically. What have you gained? What dividends did you get from adding a Shmoneh Esrei to replace the Shmoneh Esrei that you already davened? Narvas, the only addition that you would have is by adding Yal V'Yavo. But you're not adding Yal V'Yavo because it's after Rosh Chodesh. Now, if we stop here, we're going to ask the following question. What happens in a similar case of Bakoshas Gishomen? Can you think of a similar parallel case where he omitted Bakoshas Gishomen, he omitted V'Sein Talmud Uvracha, but the Tfilas Tashlumen would not be meaningful because Lo Yarviach Klum.
Shabbat.
Excellent. Let's say Mincha on Erev Shabbos or Mincha on Erev Yontif. He omits the same Talamot Livracha. Now it's nighttime. It's already Shabbos, already Yontif. He will not be able to ask for Geshamim because there are no Bakoshas in the Tfilah of Shabbos or Yontif. So Ma Yarviach Klum. Oh, the door's locked?
It's wide open. That could be the, that might be the upstairs.
Oh, maybe that's upstairs. We're hearing upstairs. So when I got bar mitzvah, I'll just tell you a little story. I received a gift from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, a three-volume work called the Yeshuas Yaakov by Rav Yaakov Orenstein. It's a fantastic work on Shulchan Aruch. Truth is, as Chatoyani Maskir, it's been collecting dust since my bar mitzvah. It's three large volumes, and I don't know when to use it and how to use it, you know. But recently I looked it up, and he writes that if a person omits the same Talamot Livracha Mincha Erev Shabbos, he will not daven a Tfilas Tashlumen on Leil Shabbos. I don't know. Take a look, because this is funny, what's going on over here. Are we actually hearing the knock from upstairs? Guess so. And the Yeshuas Yaakov invokes this Rabbeinu Yehud, and he says, since the whole purpose of a Tfilas Tashlumen is to fill in for that which you missed, if you're not going to be able to fill it in, then there's no point to a Tfilas Tashlumen. Mayarviach. Same thing should apply here. Just like in Motzi Rosh Chodesh, you can't say Yal V'Yavo in your Tefillah Tashlumen, it's too late. So too, you can't ask for Geshem in your Tefillah Shabbos or Tefillah Yontif, it's too late. Eli, was that you knocking or?
No. It just arrived a second.
Yeah, no, we're trying to figure out that somebody's knocking, but it must be upstairs.
No, just arrived.
Here you have a Mordechai sitting there, so you'll sit there if you don't mind. And these are the pages. Those are Mordechai's
pages. I don't want
to
take
it. Yeah. He went out to look for you, so to speak. It's not you that he's looking for, but somebody who's knocking.
Eliyahu Hanavi, maybe.
Yeah. So, Eli, you came a little late, but see if you can hop right on target. The Yeshuas Yaakov, who lived about 200 years ago, writes that if you omitted Bakoshas Gishonim, Mincha time Erev Shabbos, and you only realized it Ma'ariv time, it's already Shabbos, you will not daven a Tfilas Tashlumen, even though you did not fulfill your obligation. Why? Because whenever you omit Tfilas Gishamim, Bakosh Gishamim, the halacha is Machzir and also, but nevertheless, there's no point in the Tashlumen. Why? Because on Shabbos, he can't ask for Gishamim. Right? We don't have Bakoshas Gisham on Shabbos. We have Haskaras Gisham, Mashavu, but we don't have Bakoshas. There are no Bakoshas in the seven Bracha Tefillah of Shabbos. Says the Yeshuas Yaakov, this is exactly similar to a case where he omitted Rosh Chodesh, meaning Yal V'Yavo, mincha time. He only reminds himself Ma'ariv time. It's already not Rosh Chodesh. He cannot recite Yalla v'Yofo. And Tosus quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yehuda, one of the Bali Tosus, that in such a case there's no tefillas tashlum.
So my question is, if, forget mincha to Shabbos, right? Mincha to mincha. You realize afterwards you repeat Shmona Esrei, right?
Correct. And then so you'll say,
why do you repeat
the same Talamot?
No, that's how you repeat Shmona Esrei. Why? Because that's if you didn't say Shmona Esrei.
Correct.
In a case where you didn't daven mincha at all, we know that you can do tashlumin. Oh. You can do two Shmona Esrei. So why is this whole thing, because of Geshamim or Yalla V'Yavo, if it is as if you didn't say Shmona Esrei, it's as if you didn't daven at all.
Excellent question. We're going to ask a different question, and with the answer to that question, we're going to answer your question as well. So Reb Chaim Brisker, as quoted here in the, the Hari Kedem, is quoted as saying the following. There are two parts to tefillah. There's the essential matbea shel tefillah, which is made up of, Gimel Rishonos, Gimel Achronos, and then, in a weekday, 13 Bakashos. And then there's another din of Hazkara. Hazkara means that you recited the exact Shmon Esrei that you were supposed to, but you had a chiv, you have an obligation to mention the day itself. Bechol yom v'yom tein lo mein berchosav. And Reb Chaim says that there's a fundamental difference between the two. If we're talking about the etzem matbea shel tefillah, you're missing something in the essential part of tefillah, then that means you didn't daven at all. And under all circumstances, you will have to daven a tefillas tashlum. However, if you daven the Shmon Esrei from beginning to end, but you didn't add that Hazkaras Hayom, like Yalav Yom and Rosh Chodesh, then the Kiyum tefillah you have. The reason why you repeat Shmon Esrei is because the only way that Chazal allow you to fulfill your Chiyuv Hazkara is within the framework of a tefillah. So for the sake of fulfilling the Chiyuv Hazkara, you will repeat Shmon Esrei. Here's where Rabbeinu Yehuda in Tosas says that if you're not going to be reciting Yalav Yovo, then there's no point to a tefillah tashlumin. Why? Because the Iker Chiyuv tefillah you already fulfilled. You prayed all the 19 brachas of tefillah. Narvas, you didn't fulfill your chiyuv haskara v'chol yom v'yom. Well, you can only do that in the framework of tefillah. So now you're going to offer me a tashlumin. What did the tashlumin add to that which you were lacking when you left out yal v'yavo? Absolute zero. Why? Because the chiyuv tefillah you have, ela what you missing haskara, but you can't fulfill the mitzvah of haskara. Says Reb Chaim, and this is against the Yeshuas Yaakov. Reb Chaim doesn't know about the Yeshuas Yaakov. But Reb Chaim says, in v'sein talamotu levracha, you will add a tefillas tashlumin, despite the fact that it's nighttime and it's Shabbos, and you will not be able to ask for geshamim. Why?
So if you didn't say Shmona Esrei.
Yeah, because v'sein talamotu levracha is not a chiyuv haskara. It's part of the essential matbeah shel tefillah during this period of time, from Cheshvan until Pesach. Your bakasha must include, in the ninth bracha of Parnasa, must include bakasha to Shabbos saying Talamot to Levracha. If not, then it's as if you omitted that bracha. And you don't have the 19 brachas, you don't have Shmon Esrei. For sure you'll need a Chiyuv Tashlum.
You do Shabbos Shmon Esrei twice.
Mm-hmm. And you'd say Chav Shmon Esrei twice.
Say the Shabbat
Shmona Esrei twice. Correct. But of course, you're not going to say the same Talamot to Levracha, but that doesn't matter. Because what is Tashlumin in the case where you omitted a tefillah? It means that Chazal established that the Ona Smucha is a Ashlama for the number of tefillahs that you need in that day. So yesterday was Friday, and you only dive in two tefillahs out of three. You can now pick up the third tefillah in the next Ona.
So the tashlum now is basically for the full tefillah which you missed just right before our shkia type of thing.
Correct. And why did you miss the full shkia? Because asking for geshem is absolutely essential to tefillah. It's the fabric of tefillah. It's the matbeah of tefillah. Right. It's tefillah itself. So we have two different dinim of tashlume because they're two different dinim in Shmon Esri itself. One chi of tashlumin is to add a tefillah when you miss the tefillah. The other chi of tashlumin is to add that which you're chayav to say within a framework of tefillah, and you fail to say it. And the nafkamin is going to be that in the first case, even if you can't fill in that which you're missing, it doesn't matter. We're just going to count tefillahs. In the second case, the only point to a tashlumin is to fill in that which you're missing. And if it's impossible to fill it in because it's after Rosh Chodesh, it's too late to recite Yalom Yomo, then there's no point to a tefillah's tashlumin.
So, a question, not with Shabbos then, just if after you daven mincha, right?
On Friday.
Or any day. Any day. After you daven mincha, you realize you forgot Yalom Yomo. But then you...
Well, what do you mean any day? You have to be talking either about Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed.
Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, okay.
When you have Yalom HaDiavo. Right. Forget Yalom HaDiavo. But then you decide, you know, I'm hungry for a sandwich. You eat, you bench, you say Yalom HaDiavo. Do you then need to do the Tashlumim? Because all you're missing, according to that, you're not missing the tefillah, you're just missing the
No, I think every tefillah is a separate mechayev of B'chol Yom V'Yom Teilo Mein Bruchos.
Even if you say Yalom HaDiavo,
yeah.
5 minutes later,
yeah, that doesn't. Every tefillah needs a Yalom HaYavo. Mincha needed a Yalom HaYavo.
No,
you didn't have that, so therefore you'll repeat Shmon Esrei in order to what? To recite Yalom HaYavo in the framework of tefillah. If it's already too late, it's nighttime. It's the second day of the month. It's the second of Cheshvan. Then it's pointless, says Rabbi Yehuda, to add another Shmon Esrei. Why? Because the whole point of your repeating Shmon Esrei is not for the basic fabric, essential chi of tefillah, that which you fulfilled already, but rather in order to fulfill the Azkara, to mention the day. But you won't be mentioning the day, it's too late. You can't say Yalom HaYavo on the second day of the month.
So would this apply in the opposite situation, going from Shabbos to the weekday? Meaning... Same reasoning would apply because it's the day, right?
Correct. So you have to mention the day of Shabbos, the day of Yontif. If you fail to do so, let's say you daven the Vachadik Shmon Esrei on Shabbos, then there'd be no point to a Tefillah Tashlumin because what are you doing?
Right.
You fulfill the basic key of Tefillah. Now, again, I don't want to draw any halachic conclusions here. I'll tell you why it's very tricky, because it could be that when Chazal established the tefillah of Shabbos, then the middle bracha, which is called Kedushas Hayom, is essential to the tefillah. And it could be possible that you aren't Yotzei tefillah at all. I'll tell you why. Because the minimum number of brachos for tefillah has to be 7. And you left out that middle bracha. Elo what? You davened Avacha Dikashmon Esrei. It should be correct. Yeah, you did fulfill the basic key of tefillah. Okay, let's not confuse ourselves. But this is Reb Chaim. So what do I get from this Reb Chaim in terms of the halacha b'koshes gishomim? What I get from Reb Chaim is that mentioning gishomim in Shmon Esrei, starting the 7th of Cheshvan here in Eretz Yisrael, is not just the chiyuv hazkara. It's not extraneous to tefillah. It's not a tosefes to tefillah, like Yalom HaYavo is the tosefes to the tefillah of Rosh Chodesh. But rather it represents the essence of tefillah. It's part and parcel of the tefillah. That's how important Tfilas Geshem is. Bakosh's Geshem. Now, this is all in the name of Chaim Brisker. The balance of this essay, which you'll see is on two sides of a page. No, not that one. On the page that says, it should say Hare Kedem on top.
Did you talk about the beginning, about it's that line in the bracha seems almost like not so important. And the tam bracha is kind of like, it's like shaka almost, or it sounds like to me at least. I'm not talking about halachically.
Well, again, like, you're talking the rest of the year, you're talking during the rainy season. During the rainy season, it's not the same bracha.
No, I understand, but it's like, if you make a shaka on something that's an eight, you're okay, right? So your tam bracha sounds like a very generic.
Oh,
like,
I see what you're saying.
Once again,
what we're basically saying is that all of Shmon Esrei, from beginning to end, is about a bracha. We're asking Hashem for a bracha.
Right.
That bracha, shall I say, manifests itself in 13 different ways.
Right.
But that's not enough. Geshem is so important to us that it's not sufficient to just ask in a generic sense, God, bring down your blessing. I have to specifically, in a sense, invoke Chasdei Shamayim on rain itself. And this, by the way, has to do with the fact that the Gemara at the beginning of Tainis says that no human being has a mafteach to bring down the reins. It's all in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we really desperately need the reins. You know, today we live in a more industrial society, but you can imagine what it was like in an agricultural society if there was no rain. And that's what all of Masechta Tainis is about. The balance of this essay is Rav Soloveitchik defending Rav Chaim against what seems to be an explicit Gemara against Rav Chaim. In Brachos on Daf Chav Tes, the Gemara says that if after you finish the Birchas Hashonim, you're on your way to Shema Kolenu, and you remind yourself that you didn't ask for Geshem during this period of time, then you're allowed to ask for Geshem in Shema Kolenu. That is an absolute contradiction to Reb Chaim. Because Reb Chaim says that if you omit V'sein Talamot El Vracha, then you haven't recited that bracha. It's as if virtually you skipped that bracha. If you skip a bracha in Shmon Esrei, you know, you skip, let's say, Atochone L'Adav Das, and then you remind yourself Shema Kolenu, and you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant me Das, not going to help. You're going to have to start back from Atochone. Because Shema Kolenu is only unique in that I could ask for my personal bakoshos, right? My mother-in-law is not feeling well. I could ask for my bakosha in Shomer Tefillah. I have a job interview tomorrow of very great significance. I could ask for Hatzlacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shema Kolenu. It's a potpourri for any bakosha. But it doesn't mean that if I skipped an entire bracha, I can insert it into Shema Kolenu. There's no such halacha. So how could Reb Chaim on the one hand maintain that if you omitted V'sein Talamot L'Vracha and you failed to ask for Geshem, then you've skipped that bracha, and therefore the essence of the Matbea Shel Bracha is omitted. And at the same time, the Gemara Bracha says that if you remind yourself before Shema Kolenu, you'll just simply insert it into Shema Kolenu.
So the Talamatar is not a tachone. It's a bakasha. It's up there. It's important. It's not a tachone. So there's more leeway to put a Shema Kolenu in, and I'm still in the middle of Shema.
So Yossi, you're 100% correct according to the Shuas Yaakov, but not according to Reb Chaim. Why did Reb Chaim take offense to the Yeshuas Yaakov? The Yeshuas Yaakov thought that V'sein Talamot Uvracha is just an extra bakasha. It's like Yala V'yava. It's a tosefes. It's like the topping on top of the cake. You know, it's very nice. You have to ask for Geshem. And it's critical, but it's not the brach itself. And therefore, the Yeshuas Yaakov, based on that equation between the Saint Talamot Uvrach and Yal V'Yovo as a Tosefes, argues that if you omitted the Saint Talamot Uvrach Mincha time on Erev Shabbos, and now you remind yourself on Leil Shabbos, there's no point to a Tefillas Tashlumin, because the whole point in Tashlumin is because you missed out on that Tosefes. But Reb Chaim disagrees, and Reb Chaim says, no, the Saint Talamot Uvrach is not a Tosefes. It's the essential bracha. When we ask for parnasa during these days, we must ask for Geshem. That's the essential bakasha.
As a tachonin?
Exactly, because Reb Chaim says that if you left out the Saint Talmud, you skip that bracha. That's the language of Reb Chaim. And therefore, Reb Chaim says that if on Friday night, Shabbos, you remind yourself, oh no, mincha time, I left out the Saint Talmud of bracha, you will recite a Tefillas Tashlumin. Because you did not recite the bracha of Birchas Hashanim. You omitted that bracha. And you were Mashanim Imatbeya Shetavu Chacham. So the question is, how can you have skipped a bracha, in Rav Chaim's understanding, and yet add that bracha to Shema Kolen? That's a really difficult challenge. So the entire balance of this essay, which I'll let you know, work on for homework tonight if you can, is to try to defend the Zayda, you know, Reb Chaim, the Rav's grandfather. But what I want to take out of this is a halachic position which is unique to Brisk, and it's against the Yeshuas Yaakov, namely that asking for Geshem during this time of the year is tefillah. Do you follow my equation? There's almost an identity here between tefillah during this time of the year and Geshem, and asking for Geshem.
So how did the Rav defend? What's the upshot?
Oh, okay. So I was going to give you that for homework. You want me to give it to you in a nutshell? But again, I'm only going to give it to you in 5 minutes, and it requires an hour. Are you willing to accept that? Okay. Yes. So you'll have to fill in the other 55 minutes. The Rav claims that sometimes Chazal use Shema Kolenu in a totally different way. It's not just an open-ended bakasha that allows you to ask for your personal needs and so forth. It's another concept of Shema Kolenu. And the Rav claims that under certain situations where it might be very plausible that you would omit something critical, rather than have you go back to that bracha where you omitted something critical, and it's very commonplace that you might omit it, the Rabbanim made a special takana, and they upgraded Shema Kolenu to a special status called Tfilas Tashlumin. Shema Kolenu itself now takes on the status of a Tfilas Tashlumin. And why did Chazal do so? What do they gain? Your other option, if you reminded yourself, would be to go back to Birchas Hashanah, which is the ninth bracha. So then you have, let's say you're up to the 13th bracha, which is Shema Kolenu. You have to repeat the 10th, 11th, and 12th brachos. So rather than, I'm thinking of my father-in-law, but we generally think, the more brachas you make, the better, saying, but Chazal don't see it exactly that way. They're very stingy about brachas. So the Rabbanan will go overboard to try to find a mechanism by which we could limit the amount of brachas that you recite. So saving brachos, let's call it 10, 11, and 12, which you'd have to go back to, they made a new takana, and they establish Shema Kolenu as a Tfilas Tashlumin within Tfilah itself. Normally, we understand Tfilas Tashlumin is a separate Tfilah. Here, says the Rav, in order to explain Rav Chaim, Shema Kolenu was established as a Tfilas Tashlumin within the framework of Tashlumin, of Shmon Esrei, in order to save you the repetition of those three brachos. And now, when you say Tfilas Tashlumin, which is Shema Kolenu in this case, and you ask for Geshem, it's as if you have a tefillah now with Geshem. And you don't have to go back to Shema Kolenu, to Baruch Hashem. Again, as I told you, this is a 55-minute discussion.
Which doesn't help you with Yalav Yavo, because it's after the fact.
So Rabosai, Ad Kan Hakof Aleph, this is the first segment of the Shia, and I want to see in the Pnimius HaTorah of Rabbi Nassan, if we can come up with some explanation and deeper understanding of Rav Chaim's position. Again, it's not universally accepted. As we said before, according to Yeshuas Yaakov, there's no difference between V'sein Talamot L'Vroch and Yalav Yavo. It's all just the Tosefes. But that the Bakosh of Gishomim is absolutely critical. So what you should have in front of you is Yoredeah Chelik Beis Hilchas Chadash. Let me see if you could find that. And we're looking at Gimel, the third chapter in Hilchas Chadash, and we're honing in on paragraph Yud Aleph. On the other side of your page, after we finish Yud Aleph, we're going to be fast-forwarding to another section of Gimel, which is called Tes Vav. So I'm hoping you'll find that on the second side of the page. Now, in order to appreciate, you'll see the opening words of Rabbi Nosson, Vizel Bechinas Godel Malas HaGishomim, the great mile of significance of Geshem. And I have to tell you, Rabosai, I was brought up in Chutz La'aretz. To a person from Chutz La'aretz, Geshem is nothing more than just a pain in the neck. But if you're here, you can appreciate what Rabbi Nosson is saying about the significance of Geshem. But I need an introduction. This Perek Gimel of Hilchas Chadash is based on, as all the chapters are, on Lekutei Maharan of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, and that is Dirshu Hashem V'Uzo, which is Simon Lamed Zayin in the first chelek of Lekutei Maharan. Basically, the thesis of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in that particular chapter called Lamed Zayin The way I understand it, again, it's just my own limited knowledge, is that man was created as a hybrid being, made up of two parts, of nefesh and guf. And the way Rabbi Nachman sees it, and I'm going to say this in two paragraphs. Paragraph number one is that nefesh is eternal. Nefesh is infinite. Nefesh is like Tchias HaMesim. What's the connection? Because Tchias HaMesim means that man will live immortally. And nefesh itself is immortal. What's the problem? That man is made up of another part, and that's what?
Guf.
Or geshem. Gashmis. The physicality of man represents a certain opposing force to infinity, because that physical dimension of man, to the extent to which it controls the nefesh, chas v'shalom, makes man into a finite being. It brings Misa into the world. Like, for example, the Pasuk by Adam HaRishon says, Ki taiva hilei naim. And what happens is that, in this case, Chava, but then Adam HaRishon subsequently, gives way to the taiva hilei naim, a naim representing here the guf. And as a result, there's a supremacy of the guf over the nefesh. And the punishment for that is Misa. Mos yumos. Had she not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, it would have been nefesh over guf. And if the nefesh drags and controls the guf, then the guf itself becomes nefesh. An amazing chiddush of Rabbi Nachman. And what's the significance of the guf becoming nefesh? Man will now live immortally. So in the original creation of man, the intention and the essence of creation was nefesh over guf, in which man would live forever. Because the guf itself becomes nefesh. The only reason we need tchias ha-mesim, namely there's going to be death and then resurrection, is because unfortunately, tragically, the nefesh was controlled by the guf. And Rabbi Nachman adds to this Yom and Laila, many, many different metaphors. You know, in Breslov, there are many, many different metaphors that basically convey the same idea. That's introduction number one. Introduction number two is that man is created in order to achieve a tikkun. What tikkun is man meant to achieve? His tikkun is to make sure that the guf is subjugated to the nefesh. Whenever the guf is subjugated to the nefesh, then man becomes an eternal being. He touches on tchias ha-mesim. But not only that, he is achieving the goal for which he was created, the purpose for which God created him. And what this is going to do is, it's going to bring down the geshem. For example, if you read the second parash of Kriya Shema, V'hayim Shamoah, which is all about Geshem, Metar Artzachem, you will see that if we fulfill the will of God, which means in the language of Rabbi Nachman, we are subjugating our guf to our nefesh, then God will bring down the rains. So when man achieves his goal, his glory of becoming nefesh, then the rains come down. And this is tied to what's called din and rachmim, or din and chesed. Din means that man is geshem, he's physical. He is limited, he's finite, he will die, he's mortal, and his guf is controlling his nefesh. At that point, din reigns supreme. Just like Laila is din, man as guf is din, and he will die. However, God gives man the opportunity to do a process called tikkun, which is otherwise known as mituk hadin. which literally means sweetening the din. The din is always seen as pure judgment that's bitter. It's death, it's darkness, it's despair. And yet you can somehow remove and sweeten that bitterness through a process of tikkun. And that process of tikkun is achieved when the nefesh subjugates and controls the guf. So let's read Rabbi Nosson's explanation of Rabbi Nachman in the song.
That fits in consistently with, I think we did before Yom Kippur, about fasting, subjugating the guf to the nefesh and the whole importance of fasting. When there's
two
rain,
sides to the coin.
When there's no rain, what do? We fast.
Correct. And so. Rabbi Nosson is going to emphasize that by fasting, what we're doing is we're again subjugating our guf. V'zeu b'chinas godol malas ha-gishomim. Chazal say that the day of rain is considered like Tchiyas HaMeisim. Why? He says because the Efshar Sheyerdu HaGeshom, the only way that we can bring down the Geshem, Ki Im Al Yedei Tikun Maisa Tachtonim, when we down here in this world will achieve a Tikun, we can impact that effectuated change lamala, so that now the rains are going to fall down milamala lamata. Kamosha kasuv. How do I know that man is holding on to the controlling the rains as to whether the rain will come down? Pardon the pun, the rains and rain, right? I know it from Rashi alachumish, because it says v'chol siach asod eter miyeh ba'aretz v'chol esev asod eter yitzok Elohim to Hashem Elokim. Right, Allah Oretz, Vodom Ayin Lavodis Hadoma. So Rashi says what happens, right? The Shemayim Vorets were already created in the second day of creation, and yet there was no rain until the sixth day of creation. What happened on the sixth day of creation? So Rashi tells us that Adam Ayin, until the sixth day of creation, man wasn't there. What was man called upon to do on the sixth day? To pray for rain. And with the prayer for rain, the rain comes down. So we see that the tachtonim here will control the rain. Ki ikaram tokas ha-gvuros. Gvuros is din. La-foch mi-din le-chesed. Al-yedei ze dafka yordim ha-gshomim. V'zeh toli b'maisa ha-tachtonim dafka. Who has the ability to effectuate e-am tokas ha-din, to transform din into chesed? It's man who's given that. He can take the gvura and converted to chesed, how? Through his action of tikkun, by subjugating his nefesh, by subjugating his guf to his nefesh. Ukefima shes misgabrim lachnia haguf vilotzeis miguf lenefesh, corresponding to the ability of man to achieve the control of the guf at the hands of the nefesh, kmoche nimtak adin, that creates Mituk Adin, because Din is based on Guf. As we said earlier, Guf represents mortality, represents death, represents darkness. It's antithetical to Tchiyas HaMeisim, and it's pure Din. And that's the situation as long as man's Guf is in control. However, through Mituk Adin, when his Nefesh is in control, Nimshach HaChesed Al Yidei Zeh, V'Al Yidei Zeh Yodim HaGshomim. What is the purpose of Geshem? The purpose of Geshem is to cause life, to bring life into the world. And life means that everything you plant will grow and perpetuate. And that's a result of Mituk HaDin, when we reduce Din to Chesed. And how do we reduce Din to Chesed and transform Gvuros into the Chasdei Shamayim of Geshem? By being Machnia the Guf and converting it into nefesh. And therefore we recite, we observe tainios for the lack of gishamim. And Rabbi Nosson asks the following question: why is it that there are so many fast days, an entire mesechta about bringing down the geshem through fasting? There are other situations that are critical in that man, crisis that man faces, and we don't find tainios. All of mesechta tainios dances around this whole question of gishamim. And the reason for that is because tainus represents hachnas haguf l'gabei nefesh. It means converting guf into nefesh. And if we convert guf into nefesh, that creates a tikkun of amtokas adinim, And instead of gvuros, which means that there is no rain, there will be rain as an act of chesed of Hashem. And that corresponds to man's act of tikkun. So why is it that the prayer for rain, or shall we say at least the thanksgiving, the gratitude that we express to God for rain, appears and is introduced, is integrated into gvuras, into the brach of gvuros? I mean, I could have given you another 18 possibilities as to where we should insert rain. But the answer is that Gvura, the second bracha, is about Trias HaMesiv. And what will generate Trias HaMesiv? It's the control and the subjugation of the guf. When the guf itself becomes nefesh, it will live forever. V'oz yaguf mezukach legamrei. Our physical bodies are full of impurities that prevent us from living immortally. But if we can purify our guf, is then yishapech haguf lenefesh, and nefesh, we said, is infinite and eternal. Shezel b'chinas gvuras gishomim sheyardim al yidei amtokas din shenishapech lechesed, shezel b'chinas yishapechus miguf lenefesh, mimisa lechayim b'chinas tchias hamesim. So this is what rain is all about. Rain is Tchias HaMesim. That's why Chazal say, how great is the day of rain? It's like the day of Tchias HaMesim. Otzem malas ha-geshomim. Al kol yi'udei ha-Torah. Again, the Torah promises us all sorts of different gifts, divine gifts, and shef aloki for various mitzvot that we do. But the top one, on the top of the list, is geshomim. And therefore, the Pasuk says at the beginning of Bechukosai, Im Bechukosai Teilechu, if you follow in my will, you will subjugate your guf to the nefesh, Nosati Gishmechem Be'itom, V'nosna Ha'aretz Yevula. We will get the rains from Shomai. And now, in the next paragraph, Rabbi Nosson compares this to the bracha that Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov. V'yitem l'chalokim mital ha-shamayim u'shmani ha-aretz v'rov dagon v'tirosh. And right afterwards, immediately, Yitzchak Avinu says to Yaakov, Yavducha amin. The nations of the world, including Esav, of course, will be subjugated to you. Ki, kishashem yisbarach mashpia l'Yisrael rov dagon v'tirosh. If God will bring down dagon v'tirosh, I guess here you'd say, Dagon v'zeisim, okay. Dagon, I understand, but where's Zayis over here? Okay, anyway. Izel b'chinas esalus ha-nefesh al ha-guf, al yidei zeh ha-hamim nechazim ba-guf ha-nal nechnoim v'noflu v'nei Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. So basically, the bracha that Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov is that Yaakov will overcome Esav. Why? Because Esav represents the sitra achron, the guf, that's trying to bring man down. Esav represents death and mortality, and Yitzchak is blessing Yaakov that Yaakov will reach the tikkun level of his gabrus hanefesh al haguf, and therefore he will bring down the rains, which are the bechina of tchias hamesim, once the guf is converted and upgraded into nefesh. So that's Rabbi Nosson here in Hilchos Chodosh. So the emphasis here in this paragraph number Yud Aleph, and now you're going to turn the page to Tesvav, is the concept of Tchias HaMesim, of Tikkun, of Nefesh over Guf, of Yaakov over Esav, and bringing down the Geshom. In paragraph number Tesvav, Rabbi Nosson adds another point. And he says the following, there's a judgment here between Yaakov and Esav. If the scales are tipped in favor of Yaakov, if the rains are coming down, and Eretz Nosnal Yevula, which means that Yaakov is reaching the level of his alus, his gabrus, anefesh al guf, al yidei zenis batlim ha'amin. In other words, the closer that we get to fulfill God's will on the highest level and achieve Kiddusha, it has the inverse or converse relationship to Esav, in which he goes down, down, down. V'nisbatlim ha'amin. And that's why the pasuk in Yoel, in the next paragraph, I have it broken up into paragraphs, which means that Yoel promises in his prophecy that if we suffer from the lack of rain, that's called cherpas ra'av bagoyim. Amongst the goyim, it's a cherpa, it's a busha to Klal Yisrael, because the ra'av, the famine, the lack of rain, proves, Nebuch, that this is gabrus haguf ala nefesh. Ki misgaber adomim ala tzomeach has v'sholom kanal. So the domain, which is death because it has no life to it, now controls the tzomeach, which is life. V'alken li'asid, at the end of days, shanachnu nashuv l'Hashem, v'Hashem yashuv eleinu. We will reach the level of hiskabrus hanefesh al aguf, li'asid lavo, when we do tshuva. And then all the promises of the Almighty will come to fruition. So the tzomeach, that which grows from the ground as a result of the ample rain, is basically shefa Eloki, which gives life to the entire world. So basically, the rains represent life for us and for the entire world. And commensurate to the amount of his gabrus hanefesh al guf, we will receive the rains, and there'll be that his gabrus tavinu shebashamayim, which will undermine that cherpas rov, and will be zoche to all the sustenance that we need. That's going to lead us to recognize Hashem. So if you take a look towards the end of this presentation, he says, al yidei his gabrus hanefesh al guf, Yodim umakirin oso yisbarach. We will recognize it. Salyadesh zochim with sova. And how will we get sova, meaning plenty of rain? Al yidei his gabrus hanefesh al aguf. Al yidei ze zochim, ultimately, when the rains come down and the gland produces, zochim leidau lahakir oso yisbarach. So the key to recognize Hashem in this world, to know God, is hiskabrus hanefesh al aguf, bringing down the rains and the shefa and the sova, and witnessing the land producing. And then, once the land produces and we recognize God, then our achila, our eating of God's plentiful gifts, will be a different kind of achila. It'll be an achila de kedusha. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, tzadik ochel lisova nafsho. Achila is for the purpose of svir, of satiation. And when a person is satiated, then he recognizes the Almighty. And v'achaltem achol v'sova v'ilaltem es Hashem. Now he's ready to praise Hashem. And ikar achila, the whole purpose of achila, the goal of achila, is b'shvil nafsho lahalol eshem Hashem. To reach the highest level of sanctity, of achila of kedusha, and be able to thank Hashem. That's Lakutei Halachos in Chadash. Now, what I found subsequently, which you don't have, are two other paragraphs in Lakutei Halachos about the significance of asking for rain. And as opposed to what we saw in Hilchos Chadash, where rain is significant because it represents Tchias HaMesim as a result of the Tikkun and the Skabrus of the Nefesh over the Guf. Here in Hilchus Kriyat Shema, he has a different approach. So I think we only have a few minutes left, but I just want to give a little introduction to this approach. Maybe we'll pick it up next time. B'li Neder. And this Hilchus Kriyat Shema is Chelek Dalet, in Perek Dalet in Hilchus Kriyat Shema, and it's all based on Likutei Maran, Simon Lamed Vav. There's something called R. That R has a tremendous potential for bracha, but it's tricky. Because Rabbi Nachman says that that R is an R poshut. Let me explain what he means. When there's a potential for something to come down from the Shamayim to the Aretz, the R is posh. Poshut means formless. It's like you remember the Ramban at the beginning of Torah speaks about Chomer Hiyuli, some sort of formless matter. What determines the form of that formless R? It's what's called Kalim. The kalim are the receptacles that each person presents and creates in order to receive the R. If that tsiur, litsayer, which makes the kalim into kalim of bracha, then when the R comes down and it's received by those kalim, it becomes a bracha. If chas v'sholom, this has to do with Rabbi Nachman about Bilam, but not for us now, that if the person is rotten to the core, he has bad midos, and I guess you would say his guf has complete control over his nefesh, then his kalim are pgumim, and therefore the R that's received down is a klala. And here's where Rav Nachman quotes a Gemara at the end of Yuma. The Gemara speaks about learning Torah. You could either learn Torah and it becomes a bracha, or you could chas v'shalom learn Torah and it becomes a sama moves. And it all depends upon the kalim, how you receive the Torah. So certain people have the wrong intentions and they use and misuse Torah, and Torah now becomes a klala instead of a bracha. Rabbi Nachman says that the greatest preparation of our kalim to receive the bracha, to convert and upgrade the R into an R of bracha, litzayir as a bracha, is Kriyat Shema. Because in Kriyat Shema, a person declares emunah, absolute faith in the Almighty. And that prepares his kalim to receive the R as an R shel bracha. So when we read V'hayim Shamoa, and we talk about the bracha of Geshem, if we fulfill the will of the Almighty, that's appropriate to be integrated to Kriyat Shema, because Kriyat Shema is the greatest declaration of Emunah. And once we have Emunah, we have prepared ourselves as vessels of bracha to receive the bracha min HaShemayim. So just to summarize, Rav Nachman has two different approaches to the significance of Geshem. One is that Geshem is indicative of Tchiyas HaMesim, of nefesh over guf, and the Geshem will depend upon our tikkun down here, just like until Adam HaRishon prayed for Geshem, there was no Geshem. And the other approach is Emunah, that what's going to bring down the Geshem, it's Emunah, because our Emunah prepares us as the proper kalim to be mitzayer, to give a shape and a form to that shapeless R that comes from Shemayim as a shape of bracha. And that depends upon our Emunah. Our Emunah will be the greatest preparation to create the kalim for bracha, so that now the Geshem will come down as Gishmei bracha. And that's why it's appropriate to be integrated into Kriyat Shema, as he says, V'zeu b'chinas the Saint Talmud of Bracha shezochem al yidei Emunah, al yidei Kriyat Shema. And then Hashem warns us in Kriyat Shema, Yishom Melechem v'sartem v'avadetem l'machirim v'yotzares ha-shamayim v'lo yemotar, haynu shepogmim be'emuna. And then ein mitzayrim es ha'or lebracha, but just the opposite, mitzayrim es ha'or leklola chas v'sholem. That's the same klola that Adam HaRishon brought down to this world. And the Adama was cursed as a result of Adam, because Adam HaRishon was the greatest pgam in Emunah. He didn't trust Hashem, who said to him, it's better for you if you don't eat from the Eitz HaDa'as. V'netzar ha-motar. And the klola to the Adama was brought into this world by Adam HaRishon. Ki ein agshamim yordim el b'schus ha'muna, k'mo sha'omer Rabbi Seinu b'tainis tafches. Why is Amuna so critical to bring down the Geshem? Ki al yidei Amuna nitztayer ha'or lebracha b'chinas gishmei bracha b'chinas v'sein talamotar livracha. Okay then? So those are the two approaches of Rabbi Nosson. But what's common here to both Brisk and Breslov is the significance of Geshamim. On a halachic level, Rabbi Chaim understood that asking for Geshem is essential to the matbeah of tefillah. And if you omit Geshem, then virtually you have skipped that entire bracha. And Rabbi Nosson gives us a greater insight into the pnimius of why Geshem is so critical, because Geshem is the key to Tchiyas HaMesim. It's indicative of the fact that we reached Emunah. And I want to end with a tefillah and a bracha that we should be zochet to the Geshem, Gishmei, bracha, through our tikkun, through our eskabrus, HaNefesh al HaGuf, through our level of Emunah, through Kriyat Shema, Ken Yiratzon.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
There's a physical, not a physical, yeah, there's a physical and there's like a mental or spiritual aspect there, right? Like Emunah, even though I'm reading Shema, but it's really something in my mind. It's really more of a, right, asking, speaking is, there's something's created, right, when I'm speaking, right?
It's like, and not only is it Amun in my mind and my heart, but it also, it like transforms my very being, right, my very identity, my very essence into a Keli that's Mitzayer or Poshut le'or Shelbrok. The opposite is Bilam Arasha. And this Rav Nachman talks about over and over again, that, again, he has a whole beautiful diuk in the parsha that Bilam made himself into a kli pogum, and therefore the R was mitztayer leklola, not lebracha. Okay, then, thank you, gentlemen, and have a great Shabbos.